exposure, particularly maintenance and service workers who are at the greatest risk. Laura Kenny is a health and safety specialist with the Service Employees International Union. She points out that many of the union's members spend their time in boiler rooms and under ceiling panels, where in-place asbestos is most often found.
Asbestos is the number one concern of building and maintenance workers. Workers are already protected and given the right to know about chemicals. Food products and cosmetics are labeled. Asbestos is a health hazard, not unlike these substances. And it's particularly compelling and important when you know that asbestos is probably responsible for more cases of occupational cancer than any known substance.
As the hearings continued throughout the day, many expressed frustration that it has taken 3 years for the bills, which will eventually be combined into one piece of legislation, to get this far. A similar bill was killed in Council Committee last year. Councilmember Enoch Williams, chair of the Committee on Environmental Protection, has called for further hearings in September, although he expressed his desire to have something passed by the end of this year. For WBAI News, I'm Lauren Comito.
And that's some of the news for Thursday, July 12, 1990. The news was engineered by Anthony Sloan. It was produced with Jenny Bourne, Julie Cohen, Lauren Comito, Antonia French, Alan Lippe, and Kurt Pollack. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Don Rush in Washington for WBAI Listener Supported News.
Stay tuned for the Fifth Corner.
Girl walks the streets today.
Amen. Reverend, can I ask a question?
Not now, my son. It's time to pass the plate.
But Reverend, I have a terrible, important question to ask.
Yes, I want you all to dig way down deep.
But I've got to ask this question.
What do you want?
Reverend, what is God?
Yeah, what is God?
What is God?
All right, I'm gonna tell you. Pass the plate. God is our mighty fortress, our co-pilot, our guide, judge, father, and alibi. God followed us to the Pacific, to the Rhine, to the Pole, to the Moon, to the bathroom. And wherever he sent us, wherever he followed us, God was there waiting for us.
Amen.
God is a voice speaking to us in the night. A convergence of events leading up to a sales opportunity. An invisible means of support.
Amen.
He is the last word of dialogue in a movie about an old man, a kid, and a dog.
Amen.
He is the author of the Gideon Bible. He is the hope of the future with the unknown up his sleeve. He is yesterday's justification, today's improved radio tire, and tomorrow's game show host when the fix is in. He comes in all colors, black, brown, yellow, red, and he's white all over.
Yeah.
He knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. He lifted Willie Stargell's home runs into the second tier. And sometimes he lets Clint Eastwood miss just to keep us on our toes. Oh, God likes hamburgers. Weekends, good friends, Michelob. He likes Catholics, Protestants, the occasional Jew.
Oh, yeah.
He likes hard work. He likes good neighbors. And he likes spectacular beard in the fourth at Belmont. He is omnipresent everywhere. He is eternal all the time. He is omniscient and he knows it. And he is an honorary citizen of these United States, whatever the country of his birth.
Amen, Lord.
But after you have succumbed.
succumbed to cancer or been crushed by a car or expired by sucking chest wounds or heart failure when you've killed yourself or when you've been killed or when you just plain died. Oh, he can make everything right with those two little words. Hello, sailor.
Good music, brothers and sisters, can never die. It just gets more intensified. That's a man called Don Drummond, Man in the Street, from the year 1965. Calling all rude boys and girls. And an invitation to call us here at WBAI, 279-3400. We'll be taking your phone calls in just a little bit, talking about various issues that happened to come up. But first, what did we hear before that? We heard from the National Lampoon, and What Is God? A piece sure to offend many people that, I don't know, I think deserve offending sometimes. But, you know, there's all these dials and knobs and buttons and plugs on your radio, so if something upsets you, there's always an option. And perhaps we should tell the FCC about that little option. Maybe they don't know about it. We'll get into that a little later. We heard What Is God featuring Roger Bumpass from the National Lampoon's White Album. And I've just rediscovered all my National Lampoon records. I don't know if there's many people out there that have a collection. But, boy, there were some good things that came out. Mostly in the 1970s. There was the Lemmings take off on Woodstock. There was Goodbye Pop and That's Not Funny, That's Sick. And it was both sick and funny. That was the beautiful part of it. Boy, you just don't see humor like that anymore, you know? But enough funny stuff. We don't want to get too much carried away with levity here. It's a serious radio program. Serious issues to discuss. Very serious listeners are out there, we know that. And, boy, you ever have one of those days where you just feel terrible? You know, you feel like the slightest thing is going to set you off. And you're totally out of it, you know? You're totally not in step with the rest of the world. And everybody sort of seems to be at odds with you for one reason or another. Even people you don't know, even people that you've never met. Even people who aren't even alive anymore. Everybody seems to be against you. And the whole world is your enemy. And there's absolutely nothing at all to look forward to. And it's nighttime as well. You ever have one of those days? Well, if you've ever had one of those days, folks, I've got something for you right now that is sure, 100% guaranteed sure, to cheer you up. And don't even bother thanking me, because that's what I'm here for, okay? Yeah, things are going to get much better starting now.
You are.
Placidly amid the noise and waste, and remember what comfort there may be in owning a piece thereof. Avoid quiet and passive persons unless you are in need of sleep. Rotate your tires. Speak glowingly of those greater than yourself, and heed well their advice, even though they be turkeys. Know what to kiss and when. Consider that two wrongs never make a right, but the three do. Wherever possible, put people on hold. Be comforted that in the face of all aridity and disillusionment, and despite the changing fortunes of time, there is always a big future in computer maintenance. Strive at all times to bend, fold, spindle, and mutilate. Know yourself. If you need help, call the FBI. Exercise caution in your daily affairs, especially with those persons closest to you. That lemon on your left, for instance. Be assured that a walk through the ocean of most souls would scarcely get your feet wet. Fall not in love, therefore. It will stick to your face. Gracefully surrender the things of youth, birds, clean air, tuna, Taiwan, and let not the sands of time get in your lunch. Hire people with hooks. For a good time, call 606-4311. Ask for Ken. Take heart amid the deepening gloom that your dog is finally getting enough cheese, and reflect that whatever misfortune may be your lot, it could only be worse in Milwaukee. You are a fluke of the universe. You have no right to be here. And whether you can hear it or not, the universe is laughing behind your back. Therefore, make peace with your God, whatever you conceive him to be. Hairy thunderer, or cosmic muffin. With all its hopes, dreams, promises, and urban renewal, the world continues to deteriorate. Give up.
You are a
Well, I don't understand why people aren't being cheered up by that. It always works for me. Being told that you're a fluke of the universe and you have no right to be here whatsoever and just to plain give up never fails with me. It always cheers me up. But I guess everybody's different, and perhaps that's what makes it all so nice. Yeah, that's the word. Anyway, that was National Lampoon again, with one of their few serious pieces, Deteriorata. Quite a piece that was, National Lampoon. And I'm just going to go crazy with all these records I found by National Lampoon. I haven't heard from them in such a long time. Wonder if they're even still around. I haven't, except for that magazine they put out, I haven't heard a thing from them. But, in any event, the time is now 11:58. The program is The Fifth Corner. I'm Emmanuel Goldstein, and we're here until 1 o'clock. And usually we talk about technological things, having to do with telephones, computers, hackers, mischief makers, censorship, indecency, obscenity, and all kinds of other things as well. And tonight is not going to be an exception, of course not, but we're just going to have a little bit more in the way of musical bits. Just because I'm in that kind of a mood, I guess. I'm off to California on Saturday for the first time in my life, so this is the last show I'm going to be doing for at least a month. And it'd be nice to have fun on this last occasion. In any event, speaking of technological, bureaucratic blunders and mess-ups and the total helplessness that one individual person has in this society, well, I had just such an experience only a week or so ago when I thought something nice and logical would actually happen involving banks and credit agencies. Well, you know it never works that way. You know it never happens the way you expect it to happen. Never. I mean, not even once, as far as I can remember. I thought it would be a great idea, you know, because I do a lot of check writing, and I get lots of checks from people because I live in one of these group houses, and I'm the person that manages the rent. So all these people give me their checks, and sometimes someone doesn't give me a check on time, and as a result, my check bounces, and checks are bouncing all over the place like ping pong balls. And every time that happens, the bank charges you. So I thought to myself, well, wouldn't it be a great idea if I had this neat thing called overdraft protection? You know, it's this amazing thing, sort of like the mob. They come in and they protect you, and they make sure that if an accident is to occur and one of your checks bounces, God forbid, they don't charge you. They don't charge you for that. It's called protection, and as long as you keep a certain amount in another account, everybody's happy. And I said, boy, you know, that's just the thing I need. That's just what I want to have. And so I called my bank on the phone bright and early one morning and said, hi, bank, how are you? I want to get this overdraft protection. And they said, why, certainly, sir, we'll send you the forms for it. And I always welcome forms in the mail, and this was no exception. A few weeks later, the forms arrived, and, you know, they asked me these various personal questions, some of which seemed a little too probing, but I didn't mind answering them, that is. And I did. I answered all the questions truthfully, honestly, filled out my name, everything they wanted to know, and sent it into the bank. And then a month later, the bank sent me a letter saying that at this time, they could not approve my application for overdraft protection, but they thanked me for applying. And it was one of the biggest shocks of my life. I mean, I don't know how you rank big shocks in your life, but this was a big shock. I mean, I just stood there by the mailbox, envelope on the ground, and the letter unfolded, staring at it for what must have been a half hour or so. I finally came to my senses and realized the only thing to do would be to call them and to try to tell them that they must have made a mistake. I mean, here I am, a man with something like 15 credit cards, one of the best credit ratings in the world, I always pay my bills on time, and more than enough to cover whatever it is that they would charge me or whatever the checks would be. You know, I was able to cover all that. I had a savings account in the same bank, and it had to be some ghastly mistake somewhere along the line. And armed with the facts, I strode into my house and called him up on the phone and was told to call a different number, told to call a third number. And about after the sixth call, I finally found the person that had rejected me. You know, it's something to find that person. And I found her. Her name was Trudy. Trudy. I'll never forget this. And I talked to Trudy. I talked to Trudy for a good 45 minutes on the telephone. And she explained to me that, yes, Mr. Goldstein, you have fantastic credit rating. You have paid your bills on time. And the Visa people love you. And American Express loves you. And you have all these credit cards. And, you know, you're a very, very, I don't know what word she used, but whatever it was, I was very good at it. But the problem was that she added all of my credit cards together and came up with this incredible figure, something like $25,000. You know, and these are credit cards that I've never even asked for. You know, sometimes you ever get those things in the mail where they send you some kind of crazy bank in Delaware says, hey, we have a Visa card for you. It's not going to cost you anything, just, you know, it'll be reserved in your name. It's waiting here. Here's the card. Come and use it whenever you want to. Those things kind of pile up after a while. And the ones that you do use, the legitimate Visa cards and American Express cards, they keep increasing your credit every 3 or 4 months, it seems. My original credit line on Visa was something like $1,500. And I found out to my shock that they've raised it over the years to $10,000. Can you imagine that? I can go out and charge something that costs $10,000. I can buy a car on my Visa card. And it shocked me. So what she had done was she had added all of my credit cards together and treated it as if I had actually borrowed that amount. And I found out belatedly that is how they do things. They add it all up. So you can be out there with your Visa card, not using it at all, but you have all this credit against you, and it can actually hurt you. It was shocking to realize that a good credit rating can actually be disadvantageous. And paying your bills on time and getting the lowest interest rate doesn't mean anything. So folks, that's a warning. A warning to not let that happen to you. Be careful. Be real careful out there, because all these offers look real nice until you realize how it can be used against you, even if you're totally responsible. And she was listing cards I didn't even know I had. I didn't know I had a Chase Manhattan MasterCard. I never knew I had that. But somehow I do. Somehow I do. You know, there are these very tricky methods that they use sometimes. They send you a letter in the mail, and if you check a box to get more information, you get a Visa card or a MasterCard or an American Express card, and they just keep coming. And if they don't charge you for them every year, you forget you even have them. And if you don't use them, of course, you forget you have them too. But TRW never forgets. Everybody out there has a TRW file. And if there's any good to come out of this, it's that I can get my TRW file now for free and see just what they say about me. Whenever you're rejected for any kind of credit, you have that right. You can get your credit report for nothing. Usually they charge you, and I think that's one of the things that's terribly wrong with this world where you have to pay to find out information about yourself. That's pretty scary, folks, pretty scary. So be careful. Be real careful with who you give your name to, who you give your address to, and who you accept offers from. And something a friend told me, whenever somebody calls you up on the phone and says they've got this great offer for you, you know, this great money-saving offer, please listen now. You say one simple thing. You say, sir or ma'am, I only respond to direct mail.
Sacred fire in this hour before the throne of Almighty God.
You've got a good beginning. Hit and miss and trial and error. It just depends again on breaking the records over radio.
Rock music blares! Door slam! People yell! Children scream! Sirens whine! Trucks rumble and roar! And rock music blares!
I don't think there is. I don't think there's ever any escape from the noise that surrounds us. And we must learn to adapt, because that's what makes us who we are. Right. Okay, well, that's Negative Land. We heard three things from them. Quiet Please, Michael Jackson, and Escape from Noise, which is the title track of their album 2 albums ago, Escape from Noise. And I guess that's what we all spend our life trying to do, is escape from all the noise, you know? Escape from all the noise, the bureaucracy, the stupidity, the ways in which the system can drive us crazy. Speaking of the system, you learn things. You learn little things when you talk to people in different stages of life. And I had some friends visiting from Holland over the last few weeks, and they each told me that something rather bizarre happened on the way over. Well, bizarre in our little circles, something that we didn't know happened. But it seems that all foreigners, when they are told that they wish to come to the United States for a visit or whatever, have to fill out this little pink form. And the little pink form says, name, address, all that kind of thing. But at the same time, it asks you a very important question. It asks if you've ever been a member of a communist or subversive organization. A communist or a subversive organization. Little pink form, and they have to fill it out. And I don't know what happens to people that say yes, but the implication is certainly there that if you are or ever were a member of a communist or subversive, and it's kind of weird that they equate the two, because in quite a few countries, communism is not very subversive at all. But the question is just so odd. At least to me it seems odd. This is 1990, and here we have this question from the 1950s that never seems to have left, or maybe it's just come back. I don't know. If somebody knows more about this, perhaps they could call up and fill us in. But it's an eye-opener. It's a real revelation to find out that, yeah, they're giving out these forms, and it's something that we would never know about because, you know, I'm an American, and when I go overseas and come back, they don't ask me my political beliefs on the way back in. At least, they haven't yet, but they could in the future, I suppose. Amazing. communist or subversive? I mean, what could a communist person or a subversive person entering this country possibly do? What could 10 or 100 or 1,000? You know, you have 1,000 communists at the airport. What can they do? Can they single-handedly, by themselves, overthrow the government or confuse everybody? Or just get everybody really cross and start a riot somewhere? And are they going to expand this? Are they going to ask you if you're Democrat or Republican, or if you support flag burning, if you're homosexual? Well, I suppose they already have done that, because they've certainly put restrictions on anybody with AIDS coming into the country, and that is certainly discrimination of some sort. So you got to watch these things, folks. You got to keep your eyes open. This is not the kind of thing you're going to read about in the daily news. But you'll find out about it by talking to people and by sharing experiences. Well, that's one experience there. Now, this is fairly good news. Fairly good news. I saw it in the paper today. And it's... remember a few weeks ago we were talking about the phone company and how they want to raise rates, almost double the rates, and do all kinds of horrible things. Start charging for directory assistance from payphones. Start charging for operators. If you dial O, you'll get charged. Raise the fees for all kinds of other services, and eliminate other services altogether. Well, finally, after all this time, New York State Attorney General Robert Abrams today formally announced that he is opposing New York Telephone's request for a $919 million rate hike, based in part on allegations of overcharging and other improprieties by the company's purchasing division. And that's a whole other kettle of worms. The allegations were made during more than a month of testimony involving documents that New York Telephone refuses to make public. At a news conference today, I'm reading this from today's paper, so it hadn't actually happened when they printed the paper, but Abrams was expected to argue that the phone company's rate increase is excessive and unjustified, and that its attempt to conceal hundreds of pages of documents from public view by stamping them trade secret is unwarranted. As part of his office's investigation of whether a rate hike is justified, the Attorney General's staff has been questioning witnesses in the New York Telephone office building in Lower Manhattan since June 4th about the purchasing division, which is known as Material Enterprises Company. And what they do is they buy in bulk for the phone companies. And until a few months ago, Material Enterprises was a 9X Corporation division that did not come under regulatory review. Now it's owned by the phone companies. And of course, 9X is the parent of New York Telephone and New England Telephone. But Material Enterprises, what they do is they buy about $2 billion worth of products annually. And that ranges from things like paper clips to computerized telecommunication systems, pieces of paper, all kinds of things. And informed sources have been saying that the company, when they bought supplies, favored company affiliates and certain outside vendors, even if they didn't provide the cheapest prices. And they allege the division also overcharged New York Telephone by marking up the prices of goods and services, and that 9X covered up certain improprieties by company officials. So, in other words, they would charge, you know, $10 for a paper clip or something like that. New York Telephone would pay $10 for a paper clip. And then, all of a sudden, New York Telephone would start running out of money. All this money had to be spent on office supplies and things like that. And meanwhile, Material Enterprises, being a division of 9X, simply had the money in another part of the company. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of a word for that. I mean, overcharging is a word that comes to mind, but I'm sure there's a technical term. And that's what's going on. Now, that's not the only reason, of course, to be upset by the rate hikes. The rate hikes themselves are outlandish, but when you couple that with these rather nefarious schemes that they're up to, you got to really take a good hard look at these guys and see just what they're up to. So that's a bit of good news that that the state plans to fight that. And we'll be keeping you updated on this program as to just what happens as far as that goes. Now, there's another ongoing thing that we've also been following, and in fact, if you listen to Pacifica News earlier, you probably heard mention of it. It's something that's got us very concerned here, and it should have all the people listening concerned. That's the FCC. They are now recommending a round-the-clock ban on radio and TV programming that's deemed indecent. Now, defining the word indecent is one of the hardest things in the world. Now, the FCC defines it as material that is, in terms, patently offensive as measured by contemporary community standards for the broadcast medium, or describing sexual or excretory activities or organs. So I probably just did it right now by even mentioning that. That could be considered indecent. I don't know. You know, a lot of things that we do at WBAI can get people upset, but that's all a part of living. A round-the-clock ban. Can you believe that? Up until now, it was during the daytime. And at night, you could be a little bit more experimental. But now, we've got to be clean-cut 24 hours a day. And the clincher is the fact that nobody really knows what the definition is. So, what's going to happen? We're all going to go around self-censoring. And that's the best thing of all in the eyes of a censor, is somebody that worries, and because they worry, they don't take the risk. Even if it might have been perfectly acceptable, they don't do it. They don't do anything that could possibly be a violation. Running scared. Well, according to the Associated Press, critics complain that the indecency ban would violate the First Amendment. An appeals court is considering a law that would impose such a ban. And we'll just have to see what happens. But lately, folks, lately the First Amendment seems to be the biggest enemy in this country. It's really a pretty surprising situation. And I guess that's a good cue to start taking phone calls, too, if you have any comments on the FCC, New York Telephone, anything else that we've touched upon tonight. The number is 212-279-3400. And I've got the news here, tear sheet off the Associated Press. And we don't usually look at news that much here on the radio off the Associated Press, but sometimes it's interesting, and today it seems to be more interesting than other days. For instance, this item out of Birmingham, Alabama. Where else? No offense to all the Alabama people listening, but I don't know. I wonder about what goes on down there sometimes. A radio talk show host in Birmingham, Alabama has been suspended indefinitely for refusing to put calls from black listeners on the air. Not making this up. Tim Lennox says he decided not to take any calls from blacks yesterday after a co-worker's car was broken into, allegedly by a black man. What I'd like to know is, how did he know who the black callers were? Does he have caller ID on the phone and he can tell what a black call is and what a white call is? I mean, I think it would have made more sense if he had said, okay, a black man broke into this guy's car, so I'm not going to take any calls from men tonight. You know, that's a lot easier, you can tell, usually. Not all the time, but most of the time. And this item out of North Fork, Idaho. North Fork, Idaho. Oh, yes. They've pulled the plug on the nation's last known hand-crank telephone system. The old-fashioned party line in the North Fork, Idaho area was replaced today by private line touch-tone service. And folks don't seem to miss the old system. Store owner Gary Pedro says it's nice not to have to shout into his phone anymore. Well, apparently they don't use phones in New York City, but we won't get into that. It seems also that that story keeps coming up, you know? It seems like every couple of years they pull the plug on the last hand-crank telephone system. I thought they did this twice before, but they keep finding them. any event, our number is 279-3400. It's time for you to feedback. Good morning. Good morning. Wake up. Is anyone there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Did you fall asleep at the phone or something?
Hold on. Come on, give me a break.
Okay, go ahead.
We're talking about security clearance deals before, and I had a pretty weird experience with one of those. Actually, I didn't, but a woman that I was... she was a real computer whiz, and so they ran this computer check on her, and I'm sorry, not computer check, but security clearance check on her.
Mm-hmm.
Had to fill out these forms and stuff, and of course she had to list the fact that I was, you know, living in the same apartment as she was. So she comes back, a few days later, she comes home from work, and she looks at me, you know, with eyes wide, full of awe, and she goes, "You were in the Yippies?"
Oh, my God.
And it turned that up. I mean, we're talking, it had to be 15 years from the time that I had filled out, signed onto a mailing list for the Yippies back in the early 70s and the time that this happened in the mid-80s. And I couldn't believe it. I was laughing. She, of course, was not pleased at all because they took it very seriously. And but I thought it was hysterical, the fact that something like that would turn up, you know, in their security clearance. That just means that somewhere, you know, just like Arla Guthrie says, somewhere enshrined in a folder, black and white, is a copy of that subscription blank to the Yipster Times or whatever it was.
You know, I passed by their office the other day. Are they, what are they, Publishers Overthrow now?
I have no idea. Geez, I haven't heard from them in, you know.
Well, if you walk downtown, I don't remember what street it was, but we just came upon it, and this old battered sign said the Yipster Times, and it looked like there were still people going in and out of the place, but it was pretty decrepit.
Oh.
So they exist in some form, but that's incredible. You should do a Freedom of Information Act and see just what they have on you, because, you know, you've got the right to, and you should be curious.
Yeah, but I figure that's just giving them more information, because then they'd have a current address on me and all kinds of stuff like
that. So get a P.O. box. I mean, who says you have to use a current address?
True.
You know, you can...
If we're a P.O. box. Come on, if they want to find you, they'll find you. There's no real security in a P.O. box.
No, well, that's true. So do your best to confuse them. Use a different middle initial. You know, give a friend's address or an enemy's address.
Sure.
And, you know, just try to find out what you can, what they know about you. Because I think if everybody did that, maybe there'd be less files, because there'd be so many people asking about files that there'd be they'd have to hire people to handle that part of it. Why do you think they do this? I mean,
they're just, you know, it's just, that's their thing, you know? There's I don't know, what, millions of people that are employed by the government across the country, that's all that they're paid to do, you know? It's our tax dollars at work, right?
It's so scary when you think of it, and we all have a file of some sort, whether it's a credit file or, you know, some kind of a file with the FBI. I mean, you'd be surprised who's in there.
I'm just glad that no one has, as far as I know anyway, at least I've never done it voluntarily, has given up my fingerprints anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So
well, of course, in the interest of security, someday everybody's fingerprints will be taken at birth. That way, if...
they're working on it.
If a child molester ever kidnaps you, they'll be able to find you right away.
Absolutely.
As if they don't have a homing device installed upon birth.
Yeah, that'll be the next big step, huh? Some little electronic implant under the subcutaneous electronic implant.
Well, you know, there are people that think this is a very good idea.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I could sort of share their enthusiasm about developing new technology and all that, but, you know, like caller ID is a good example. I think it's fun to play with, but you can't ignore the invasions of privacy that those things are going to bring about. And what's going to happen if suddenly nasty things begin happening in the upper reaches of government, or if it falls into a totalitarian regime?
Well, the other
That's
side
total control. Computers give you so much control over people.
Obviously, the other side of caller ID is, as you said with the Freedom of Information Act thing, is that everybody should just get caller ID. You know,
uh-huh.
You know who's calling you at the same time that they know who you are when you call them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You know, where is it going to end?
Well, the thing is, everybody is advertising caller ID as some amazing feature that's going to ward off obscene callers. It's not. I mean, obscene callers will simply find a secure place to call from or a way to route around the system.
You just call from a payphone. I mean, what's the big deal about...
You call from a payphone or you route through a long-distance... I'm not giving advice on how to make obscene phone calls, by the way, but what I'm saying is that people will see a number coming up on their caller ID display, and they're going to say, I don't know this number, therefore I'm not going to take the call. And they're going to ignore it. And meanwhile, it'll be somebody at a payphone trying desperately to get in touch with them because their car broke down or something. And it's, you know, you don't think that way.
The latest thing that that I've been dealing with is people have been coming up with suggestions about how to prank people's electronic mail.
Uh-huh.
Oh, on computer services like MCI and stuff, how to prank somebody's electronic mail, like using a file archiver and zipping all these blank files together and giving them all funny names like sexy dot picture or something like this.
So they feel compelled to read the file.
Right. So you know, you'd send them all off to this jerk, and he's got to spend, you know, hours and archive, unzip, or whatever it is, all these files, and all they are is just, you know, thousands of bytes of blank spaces.
Uh-huh. That's pretty sneaky there. but it hasn't happened to me yet.
No. Did you see there was a thing? It's pretty funny. I was watching TV the other night, and they did a story about payphones in Manhattan. And I'm out here in Jersey, and I really don't use payphones too much myself. But they did a thing about how, you know, on the one hand, here they show this guy, and there's like three payphones on this street corner, and he tries each of the three payphones, and none of the three of them work. And then they say, well, why is this? And then they go interview some guy from AT&T or 9X or whoever it is that handles these are real telephone companies.
It'd be New Jersey Bell for you.
Yeah, okay. But so they go to this guy, and he says, well, you know, our payphones don't work because they're vandalized. Now, of course, none of the three payphones that this poor guy tried to put his quarter into were vandalized at all. I mean, they looked all in perfect working order to me, you know, from the outside, but it's just internally they didn't work.
Right. Well, you don't vandalize something internally. If something is vandalized, you usually know about it.
Yeah, right. You know, but the thing, the funny part was, so he's saying, and look at this, and he's got this, like the remains of this payphone.
Uh-huh.
It looked like somebody had taken a sledgehammer to the thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was so funny. And he's like, well, this is the reason why our payphones don't work, you know.
They probably did that morning so
yeah,
they could
right.
have a nice demonstration. I mean, usually when people vandalize payphones, they do it because they're so frustrated at having their quarters stolen by the things.
Absolutely. But that, of course, that was no part of the report at all. You know?
Have you seen in New York City they're converting lots of payphones now to credit-only phones?
Yeah.
They're simply covering up the coin slots and saying this does not take quarters. However, the phone still thinks it's a payphone. It'll ask for money. And, of course, there's no place to put the money. It's really kind of weird.
You still get away with that bit that people used to do with the you know, audio taping the sound of the coins dropping into the box or something like that?
Well, what you're referring to are red box tones, which are the tones that quarters and nickels and dimes make as they're put into the slot.
That still work?
Well, it's possible. I've heard instances where people are doing that.
Uh-huh.
And of course, I can't condone that either, but anything is possible in this day and age.
Really?
That's really what I have to say about that. Anyway, we're going to go into some more calls.
Hey, play some more of that, if you've got That's Not Funny, That's Sick,
uh-huh,
floating around there. Play some of that later.
Okay, anything in particular?
Boy, it's been so long since I've heard it.
That's a great record.
But it is a great record.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what would probably be good? Wasn't there a bit about the oil companies on there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Play that. All right.
All right, I'll see if I have time for that. Thanks very much for calling. And our number is 212-279-3400 as we chat with people who keep their eyes open and keep their hands busy. That's the kind of thing I like to see. Good morning.
Evening there. I mean, good evening, Manuel.
Well, whatever it is. How you doing?
Woke up about an hour ago.
Yeah.
Sleep here. Figured I'd give you a call, been out of touch for a while. I heard this thing you mentioned that they have... a 24-hour around-the-clock indecency thing with the media?
That just came out today.
With all the shows related to the mob and murder and blowing people up and crimes and shooting and guns, why didn't they start with that 25, 30 years ago? Milton Minow claimed that television was a vast wasteland. It still is.
Well, only because people don't demand something better.
Gone down the tubes. They stifle real creativity, real talent. They don't give a real talented person a break. I happen to be a writer. Instead, you get ripped off by people who can't access to your work and misappropriate it, and you become the ghostwriter of the pop music world. Isn't it a horrible world? Then you go back to times like Hank Williams, even before that to Gershwin. They rip people off and murder them and cover it up. You don't know what's going on out there, Emmanuel. When you come from a people like our people who have been slaughtered and murdered for a long time, you know something evil's going on out there. When people masquerade that they have some kind of Christianity and they're lying. Everything in life is based on the big lie technique. And that's what Hitler used, and it's going on in America this year. Okay, what I want to get to is some comedy, okay?
Yeah, do that, please.
Of this aggravation and neurosis.
I'm glad you set that up for us. Go right ahead.
First of all, the good creator that put us on this earth and wants us to have pleasure and love. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And then in another book he says, love one another as I have loved you. How could religious organizations call themselves by that name and victimize people and sit in judgment upon people who really love each other, where sex is only an act of love? If people understood the real nature of sex, there wouldn't be sodomy, molesting, and raping, and killing. Because it's a vicious cycle if you study emotional, psychological self-help books. You understand? We live in a mentally ill world. They believe it's right to hate, hurt, and kill. And that's what you've got. You thought those days were over? It's always under the surface because man is an animal. Okay, enough of this spiel. Let me do some comedy, okay?
Oh, I thought that was... Okay, go ahead.
And I created my own little character lately. He's called Andrew Nice Gay, okay? There isn't anything as straight or gay. It's unfortunate that people have to define things by words and words that are derogatory that put people down. You may have dysfunctioning people out there in certain categories who really want love and security and affection. But basically, the basic issue is love, you understand?
I understand.
Let's just do my shtick here. There isn't too much, and I'll get off the air.
Okay.
Okay, and Andrew Nice Gay, how about a little parody? And it is clean. I've been keeping my material not only recent, but decent. Here it is. Twinkle, twinkle, movie star, didn't I meet you in a gay bar? When we bid each other goodbye, you told me that you were bi. Now, how's that for a parody, huh?
That's not bad.
I'm good at. Now, I've contacted some big people in the business about it. I've been trying to reach them for at least 2 years. You know what? Nothing.
Not a phone call, not a letter, nothing, huh?
Everything is controlled by people, just like politics or religion, even in comedy. And what about the movie industry, where prostitution's been legal for more than 60 years, where they've denied us three-dimensional movies, where they've denied us, you know, everything. Everything we've been denied. It is just horrible. How could people be controlled? How could people control people when real art is the expression of the humanities? Can you understand why this country is like this?
Well, yeah, I can't understand why, but I can see that it is.
Good book, and you'll see that the whole world has been deceived. I don't belong to any of that organized religious stuff out there. I'm not putting it down, but I'm saying that things happen in people's lives, and something big happened in my life, and I know about it, but I'm not here to discuss that. I just wanted you to know that there are people out here who are not only have led lives of pain and hurt, but this is where comedy comes from tragedy. It is a mask for tragedy. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Good trip to California.
Thanks.
See you when you come back. Good night.
Okay. Good night. And it's currently... They put this stupid thing in front of the clock here. I can't see. It's 12:42, it looks like. And I don't know what this is. It's a huge wooden object that's protruding from the from the thing underneath the clock here. I don't know what's going on in this place, but... Some interesting things from our listeners here, huh? Some interesting things. Our number is 279-3400. And speaking of Andrew Nice Gay, leads me into this incredible thing from, again, National Lampoon. For those of you who are getting sick of it, too bad. But this is one of their crowning achievements, I think. And we'll take some phone calls right after this.
Ray, we're going to be interviewing three of the greatest superstars Hollywood's ever produced.
You're too kind.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, John.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Chuck.
Chuck Bronson.
Clint Eastwood, John. Delighted to be
Clint
here.
Clint Eastwood, Chuck Bronson.
You are so coy, dear. I'm Lee Marvin. Hi.
And Lee Marvin.
Sui.
They're here today to talk to you about something that's been on their mind for years, and they're coming out with it here for the first time. They have formed a group called the Hollywood Alliance. What did I get that wrong?
Gay Alliance.
Gay Alliance. No, I can't believe that you gentlemen are really gay. I mean, Charles Bronson, how could you be gay?
He's an actor. If I may speak for Chuck, who is one of the finest actors in the business.
It's Clint Eastwood, yes.
Yes. Chuck's an actor, and he, you know, what he does and what he's been doing is a wonderful act.
Oh, you're beautiful.
But it's time to be real, isn't it, Chuck?
Excuse me, it's time to knock the closet doors down. It's time to bust him in, if you ask me.
I'll start the ball rolling. It's the Hollywood Superstar Gay Alliance, John, and we have been thinking about this for years, and it's an organization that we've started recently, I would say in the last 9 months.
It just seems amazing to me. Here you are, Charles Bronson, Mr. Macho of the screen. How could you be gay?
In the first place, you're presuming right off the bean that because I'm gay, I can't be macho. And this is a fallacy, a myth.
It's also a myth, if I may break in, to assume that what we are on the screen is what we are off the screen, and we're not. We're actors doing an honest day's work.
That's what the assumption is, that if you're gay, you're bad. I mean, it's wrong.
And I think our biggest problem, if I may, Lee, is convincing some of our peers to come out with us.
It just, it's amazing. What other people in Hollywood are gay? I know you hear rumors.
Who isn't, John? Let's put it that way.
Well, who isn't? I think that's really stepping over the line. There are many heterosexuals in Los Angeles County.
Name one, sweetheart.
Rod McHugh.
Well, for instance, who?
Let's just get out in the open. This girl's heels are worn down with to a frazzle, just number one.
Who?
I lived with Jimmy Pearsall for 2 years, and I'm saying it now.
Oh, Lee, that's a real shock. That's a real shock.
No shock to me, Lee.
It's no shock to me either.
There are a lot of little girls on the set coming up now who just can't step forward like we can, and we're so happy to be able to help them out.
Like who?
Just Ken Howard, for instance.
Ken Howard, right.
Ken came up to me. He was shooting that dreadful series, whatever that was called, about the two solicitors, whatever they're called. Ken came up to me crying her eyes out, said, "Where do I go? Who's going to take me?" And I just held him and said, "It'll be all right." And it was. It was. I mean, the show flopped, didn't it? Did they pick it up?
It's that kind of compassion that Lee, for instance, has, and Clint here, and Paul Newman, who's been
Paul
doing
Newman?
A tremendous amount of work for us.
Paul Newman is gay?
Gay, of course. Of course
I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh, well, this is...
Well, go down to headquarters and ask him. Dear, really?
He's right there. He's typing right now.
Sure.
Well, I know you've made movies with a lot of actors. Like, there was a movie called The Magnificent Seven. You had Yul Brynner. And Yul Brynner. You had James Coburn.
Eli Wallach.
Now, they weren't. Yes.
Everybody in the film was gay. And I think that's how it worked, except for Horst. But
they called that the Summer of Sin when they made that movie. And we were...
Well, no, that's just...
So Horst Buchholz was the only one in that movie who wasn't gay.
That's right.
Charles Bronson, now you made a movie, The Great Escape.
I just ask where you got that belt, John? I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's not fair. You should describe it.
I got a...
The buckle sort of looks like a snake.
I got a leather store on 10th Street somewhere.
Oh, yes.
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. You made that film with a number of... James Garner, you made it with.
Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm. Don Pleasance.
I'll never forget you and Steve McQueen on that cart when you were stuck.
You'll never forget.
Oh, God.
I think that's where I really got to know Steve well.
Steve came out just after that.
No, you see, Steve's another small man.
He's not gay now, is he?
Well, but Steve is gay, you see.
He is.
There are some small men who are gay.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure you'd like to know about a lot of people who are gay, and of course, we're not here to spread the word on people who are gay, people who are gay and who don't want other people to know about it.
It's not a gossip.
That's their business.
Oh, Jesus.
But we are here to say that we're gay, and we are the head of a rather large organization now of gay people who are proud to be gay.
If we told you right now who people were, I mean, who, for instance, Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite is gay?
Casey Stengel.
Casey Stengel, I can't
believe
Casey.
The old dog, you know. She has the biggest collection of tiaras I've ever seen.
Really?
For instance, there are people that you just wouldn't expect, you know, couples. I mean, people that don't know about couples, for instance. Mm-hmm. Linus Pauling and guess who? Just try to match them.
Dr. Spock.
Dr. Spock.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Spock?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not important who's gay or who isn't gay. What's important to us is that...
Is how gay they are.
How gay they are.
I'm being selfish, I'm
sorry. Now, you're making a joke of this. Is this a serious organization,
or is it
a lot of other gay groups?
He is always making jokes, always drinking. He's always a little bit out of touch.
This girl's a boozer, and she's not ashamed of it.
Oh, God, yes.
Bottle of wild turkey, and I'm happy.
Now, what about, are there any sports people that are gay?
Nitschke.
Ray.
I went out with Nitschke for 2 summers.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who used to be known as Lou Alcindor, is gay.
Oh, boy.
everybody knows that, of course.
That's amazing. And, I didn't know that.
When he swims.
Jack, it's a sight to behold. That beach.
Now, you can't tell me a guy like Dick Butkus is gay.
Dick Butkus.
Dick Butkus is gay.
You've never seen Dick Butkus in a muumuu. He's incredibly gorgeous.
What about some rock stars?
Jerry Garcia.
Jerry Garcia is gay? This is incredible. What about...
The Beach Boys, all of them.
Yeah, they've been going steady.
And what we heard was the National Lampoon, One More Time, with Gay Alliance off their White album. And you heard the voices of John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Christopher Guest, and Steve Collins. And that came from the National Lampoon's Radio Hour. And that record came out in 1980. 10 years ago, my God. Well, we're still welcoming your phone calls. We only have about 10 minutes to go before Bob Fass comes in. And we'll have all kinds of interesting things on WBAI throughout the night. But right now, something that I've always been a little curious about. Let's see if we can find an answer. Well, we won't find an answer right away because the phone hung up on us, but we're going to try it again. Yes, hi, operator. I'm trying to place a call to Antarctica.
All right, sir, hold for long distance, please.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
ATD, how can I help you?
Yes, hi, operator. I'm trying to find out the country code for Antarctica, please.
Where?
Antarctica.
Antarctica?
No, Antarctica. It's a continent on the southern hemisphere.
Antarctica.
Okay. Yes.
And what about it?
I need to know the country code.
Antarctica. Hold on.
Yeah, I'd like to get information over there, please.
Okay. The name of the country, Antarctica?
Well, yeah, it's a continent and the country at the same time.
Over here, see what I have.
Thank you.
What is it on the A? Huh. On the A, I'm sorry, sir.
It's the least populated of the continents, but it's also quite a landmass.
Yeah, I'm trying to look in the... Okay, I have Antarctica Scott. Which one is Antarctica? Okay, hold on for the operator.
Scott is... Okay, thank you.
What, the Scottish?
Well, there's a... I think there's a Fort Scott there or something?
No, I just have Antarctica Scott.
What are you listening?
Antarctica Scott. Let me go back. I'm trying to go and bring it into the computer here.
Okay.
Just 1 second if I can get it up here.
Yeah, the computer usually knows these things.
I wish you would tell me about it.
Well, yeah, you have to know how to ask.
Okay, Antarctica KC, Antarctica Scott, that's all I have.
Okay, Antarctica KC and Antarctica Scott.
You get all the details on it, okay.
And how would I go about dialing that?
It's undialable.
It's undialable.
Antarctica KC base, if I guess it's a base over there.
Right, there are two bases, I believe.
And this one, you can't dial these, they are non-dialable countries.
Non-dialable, huh?
But you can go to an operator, just one moment now.
Okay.
Another one. And this is Antarctica Scott base. First I gave Antarctica base.
Uh-huh.
And I gave you, wait a minute. Thing changed. Let me go back, sir. AC is one. AT is another. AC is Casey base. Okay, one is Casey base, one is Scott base. Now we're back to Casey base. That's an undialable country. Now let me go back to the other one. This one here is Antarctica Scott base. Undialable. But I can give you an operator, okay?
Well, okay, I was just calling to find out how I would call. So in the future, when I try to call Antarctica, what do I do?
Oh, you have to come to ask for the country, sir, the operator route to which one you want, the Scott base or the Casey base.
Okay, and there's no magic numbers to give out or anything like that?
Yeah, well, you have to have details. Let me find that for me here now. Look under the profile. One second.
Okay.
No, we just routed to the International Opera who handled the Scott routings and who handled the Casey routings.
Okay, so I'd have to know if it was Scott or Casey.
Right.
And then they take it from there. Okay. Well, I guess that answers all my questions then.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. I always wanted to know that. I always wanted to know how you're supposed to call Antarctica. Well, now we know. There's no country code. It's undialable, and you go through the operator. Well, let's take a couple more phone calls. We have about 6 minutes or so. Our number is 279-3400, area code 212. Good morning.
Hi, I'm so sorry that you can't be on for a long period of time.
Yeah, I wish I could,
and,
too.
When are you coming back? Well, is this your last show?
Well, this is my last show until mid-August.
I see. And let me encourage you. Somebody called up before and said play music. I think you really don't have a long enough program to really play a lot of music, and I kind of felt the beginning stuff I couldn't really get into. I didn't know what was going on, so I really went somewhere else and had to come back.
Well, you see, music is the spice of life, and it sort of gets me into a different mood. Every single track I play sort of alters me in some way.
Well, you know, your program is so unique that it either requires more time or you got to give more. You know, in the times that you've opened up the lines, it's really been there. You can always play stuff, some stuff as background, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, not on this crazy phone system we have, because if I play anything in the background, people can't hear what's going on, and it's really...
If you check out some of the late-night people especially who do that, the stuff you play may not be quite used.
Yeah, that's true.
Able to do that. But let me ask you, I just want to encourage you to be as open as possible, because your show is quite unique.
Uh-huh.
And important.
I appreciate that.
And could I request that when you come back, maybe you could line up some phone guests 1 week, maybe someone who speaks for consumers. Maybe it could be by phone if they can't be there in person.
Well, since I'm going out to California and it's 3 hours earlier there, I'll probably find some people like that will be happy to be guests. The people here in this city or around here, they're always coming up with lame excuses, like they have to go to sleep at 1 a.m.
But gee whiz, I should think people who are interested in the consumer rights or who are working for it, I guess they got to get up early to do the fighting if they're employees or in the head of organizations or something. But also civil rights, you know, you get people on and know stuff like that. And I want to ask you if you can check out for us update what's happening to the computer kids who've gotten busted.
Well, there have been some developments. I know a couple of trials are scheduled to start in a week or so.
Really ought to monitor that and see what we can do about it.
Well, there's a lot that should be done.
Yeah.
Right now, I think the important thing is to remain aware of what's happening with regards to all that, because...
And clue in the news department if you come up with information. They might be able to cover it a bit, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me let some other people get on, and good luck. Have a good vacation.
Thank you, and we'll see you soon. 279-3400, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, hello, good morning. In relation to your discussion before about credit cards and telephone, et cetera, I heard about a year ago that, this is hearsay, that the government has plans to get people in debt through extending the credit, and what they want people to do is to overextend themselves, and that then they're going to have a currency exchange, and that this currency is printed up right now, and that it may eventually actually even be a $5 to $1 exchange, which will create a situation where people won't be able to pay back the credit that they've built up for themselves.
How would such a currency exchange work?
In terms of talking about having a one-world currency, that what's going on now in terms of in Germany and different countries where they're talking about having an economy that will be more universal, that in fact this isn't necessarily working towards democracy for everyone, but the opposite for the whole world.
Well, I think it's something that we should be concerned about. Overextending, that's the exact word that credit person used on me. They said I'm overextending myself, and I wasn't aware that I was extending myself at all in my particular case. But a lot of people, not only It's incredible. I was listening to the news the other day, and there is a story on about how what you said is actually happening. People are using too much credit and not being able to pay it back and going into debt, and it seems to be a nationwide phenomenon. Then they broke for a commercial, and the commercial was for a hotel, and the hotel said, okay, let's look at this scene and give you the choice of paying by cash or paying by credit. And they implied that paying by credit was the only sensible way to stay in their hotel. And it's incredible. Don't these people listen to what was just said on the radio? Don't they program their commercials at least so they don't completely counter what was being said on the news? It's something that's a major problem. And not only is it a major problem on an individual level, it's a major problem on a national level. The country is in debt like never before. And what's going to happen? I don't know.
Well, supposedly this is what I've heard. It's part of a larger plan to have more control over people. And that when people then can't pay back their debt because of this currency exchange, which will be presented as a way of unifying the world, they'll then be issued a debit card, and their bank accounts will be attached directly, and their pay will go towards paying back this debit. And if that doesn't work, then they'll claim people's houses and property. And if that's not enough, then I've even heard that they had plans to give people laser tattoo numbers, which sounds absolutely outrageous, but this is what I've heard from a few different sources.
Well, nothing is impossible given the advances in technology, and it's only by saying what if that we have any chance of preventing worst case scenarios like that. But I urge you to stay aware and let us know what you learn.
Well, what I have learned is that there's a lot of subliminal programming that goes over televisions and radio waves that could also be inducing this credit extension that people feel compelled beyond their rational, logical thinking to do, and that it's important not to watch television you know, so that you think more independently and to not have any debts, and if you have any debts, to pay them up so that when this currency exchange interaction were to occur, have any debt.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are now looking to move out of cities, more on the land, and establish alternative lifestyles where they're more independent from the system, where they can supply their own food, and where they live in community situations where there's mutual support there, that they're more independent. But if you do live in a city, it's very important to not be in debt and to, you know, get rid of your credit card if you can. But part of what's going on with the telephone company is part of getting people on these cards, because they're creating a situation. I believe that the telephone company has been ransacking all the phones so that people will ask to have a better system, and then they'll say, well, we have this card. It's part of getting this whole card system into control.
Well, I know the phone company is in love with calling cards of their own and all kinds of computerized ways of doing things. It's something to keep aware of. We're going to have to stop there, though, because Bob Fass is here, and we want to continue with our radio programming tonight. It's just about 2 minutes after 1 o'clock. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program has been The Fifth Corner. And I'm going out with this Debbie McClatchy song. Or am I coming in with another song? I'm not sure. We're battling dueling turntables here. My Debbie McClatchy song is all about California, because that's where I'm going. And I don't know what that was, but I'm sure you'll hear more about it in a little while. Good night, folks. See you soon.
I want you all to know, oh, what became of Maggie and California Joe. They left old Mad Jack's cabin, packed all the cart would hold, and it's off to California and a-searching for the gold. Settled down in Marysville in Seattle. hear a mother low. A booming mine shack city built where the Feather River flows. They built a home of logs and stone where the river starts to wind. And Joe worked running buckets in the Little York hydraulic mines. Just before the first snowfall, Maggie bore a little girl. They named her Faith, and Faith became the center of their world. 10 years passed, and Faith grew strong in her piney mountain home. And everyone in Marysville felt Faith to be their own. Old Joe was second foreman, he still worked in the mines. And he often said to Maggie, I'm worried about springtime. Slickens are always rising, the bottom's up 5 feet. If this year's snow is heavy, then we're in for a lot of grief. I've tested out the river every springtime we've been here. And just as I've suspected, it's risen every year. I've spoken to the manager, he won't give me a chance. All the owners are for profits, and the owners live in France. That winter was both cold and long, the woods were choked with snow. And with the thaw, the Feather grew to a swollen, raging flow. And as the swirling waters hit the mine above the town, well, the slickens were so heavy, the water had to move to higher ground. 46 million cubic yards of gravel, muck and mud turned the peaceful Marysville to a 15-foot-high flood. And high above the city, Joe found his Maggie safe. But none of all the neighbors there had seen a sign of faith. Oh, she'd gone down to the river to find flowers in the snow. And Joe, I could not find her when the river overflowed. I searched, I cried, I called her name, but I heard no return sound. Then the waters got so very high, I had to move to higher ground. Oh, Maggie dear, don't fret, don't mourn, I'll find our little girl. I can't believe that God above would take so sweet a pearl. He has so many treasures, I know we'll find her safe. And the very next time you see me, well, I'll have our darling Faith. All the neighbors gathered there, searched far into the night. And up and down the flooded town were boats with bobbing lights. And as the first shell, pink and gray, brought promise of the dawn, weary searchers went on home to bed, but Faith had not been found. All 2 days passed, hope grew dim, there'd been no sign at all. And many friends gave up the search as the waters began to fall. There'd been so many loved ones lost, the toll was mounting high. But why should Faith so young and strong been chosen then to die? The gold they found was worthless now, they paid too high a cost. And as the night brought darkened hopes, he knew the time had come. He climbed the hill above the town and blew up the Little York mine. Oh, all the neighbors came to watch, the sky was lit by fire. And all the world grew warm and gold as the flames leapt even higher. And from the dark into the glare, a small form crept alone. And someone shouted, Joe, come see, your Faith at last is home. Oh, Daddy, I'd gone down to find some flowers in the snow. And then a mighty water wall pushed me on down below. I caught and held a sturdy log, I prayed I would not drown. Well, we floated down for miles and miles before I could reach some higher ground. At first I thought, I can't go on, I cannot even try. But someone whispered close at hand, I'll save you or I'll die. Since then I've walked through snow and mire, my strength was fading fast. That voice kept me from losing hope, and now I'm home at last. Now hoses, pumps, and buckets are gone from Marysville. They passed a law in 93, the mine is ever still. The men went back to panning and digging for the gold. Well, the family is together, and my story has been told.
Well, it's incredible how Debbie McCauchy is singing a song that is a veiled, encrypted reference to 1977, Dolores. Didn't you notice that?
No. And
sure, that's exactly what it was. Dolores Costello is here with me this morning, and maybe more frequently than that if things work out. And so is Mitch Korber. And Mitch Korber is not the only videographer in the room. Marcy Wilson is, and Clayton Patterson, who is not just a videographer, he's a felon. Is that true, Clayton?
I don't know about felon, but convicted. A convicted person.
Convicted? A person with convictions?
A person with more than one conviction.
Uh-huh. Well, could you, could you just stop clicking that automatic camera for a moment or two? I mean, this is the most media-overloaded room on the face of the planet at the moment, I think. I mean, God, look at all the video cameras and all. You're getting to be a very important person, Clayton, like a lot of important people, because of what's been done to you rather than what you succeeded in doing. Because I think that basically what you tried to do was to act as a witness to a certain kind of activity that the press didn't seem willing to cover. And as a result of that, you're being...
prosecuted, persecuted.
Harassed.
I don't know, harassed, harangued. I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's the way I would see it. To be convicted for a First Amendment issue seems highly unusual. I think that, to be convicted of obstructing governmental administration, really, for just videotaping the police making arrests, there's something highly unusual about that. So is that persecuted, prosecuted? I don't know. But anyway, yeah, basically what I was doing was videotaping the police making an arrest. It was interesting. I think the whole thing was a setup. It was like 1:30 in the morning. It was the anniversary of the August 6th, 7th riot, and this was 1989. And it was after that time, while I was videotaping this arrest, that all this action took place. The night, the streets were basically empty by this time, and nothing was going on, and I was videotaping a person called Donald Ladd and Chris Flash talking to Deputy Inspector Julian, and then behind the Deputy Inspector was a youth of about 18 standing behind Julian looking by and seeing what was going on. And so what happened was all of a sudden... an undercover cop came along and grabbed the kid and started rushing him down the street. So everybody rushed to videotape and to photograph the arrest and as it was happening. And so I was rushing down the street videotaping, and there was really nobody on the street, on the sidewalk, although the police in court said that there was about 25 to 50 people blocking the street, and I was yelling, link arms, link arms, link arms. And that I had my video camera up above my shoulder, and I was bashing it down under the police, and that I was pushing them physically and trying to grab the prisoner away at the same time. And the whole incident took 44 seconds. But anybody that has had any experience with the police at all knows that if you physically touch, never mind, you know, bashing with your camera or physically pushing them backwards or trying to wrestle away a prisoner, that you would pay a price. Anybody that has ever dealt with the police know that that's a fact. Certainly in New York, they shoot people for less. Certainly it's a fact that they beat people up for doing that. Certainly it's a fact that one would go through the system, which means that when you're arrested, you do your 72 hours in jail. And certainly it's a fact that you would be charged with assault and obstructing a peace officer, none of which had happened. What had happened...